Sabbath blessings, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this beautiful Sabbath day of the 22nd of April 2017. Sabbath greetings to those listening on the phone, those listening to the recording, and also to those that have joined us on WLMR Radio. And it's a honor and a pleasure to be with you all in fellowship. Our opening song is Rock of Ages. And we were talking about the rock in our youth and adult Sabbath school today. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thyself I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. When my pilgrimage I close, victor o'er the last of foes, when I'm raised to ascend above, and behold more of thy love. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And praise our Savior for making salvation possible. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we ask that thy presence will continue to be among us, continue to grace our hearts and our gathering here with thy love, light, and the atmosphere of joy that surrounds you and your throne, and thank you for bringing your peace to us. Dear Savior, we also pray that thy presence will continue with us, and thank you so much for indeed making possible our salvation and providing a full and free atonement for all of our confessed and forsaken sins. Dear Spirit, continue to lead and guide us into all truth, away from all error, soften and subdue our hearts, and indeed grant us the divine grace and strength to say no to self, but yes to God. Father, I pray that you will continue to speed thy truth around the world, and let it become indelibly stamped upon our hearts that it may become the guide of our lives and we may show ourselves to be truly your children and not children of the wicked one. Continue, Father, to pour out thy Spirit in rich abundance, and continue, Spirit, to fill this earth with the knowledge and glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And thank you that we're a day closer to eternal life, to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to getting off of this wicked world, and a step closer to the ending of the great controversy forever. Dear Savior, as our great physician, please continue to heal our mind, soul, and bodies of all maladies for your glory and honor. Be with those who have requested your healing grace. Be with Dakota and help the problem that he's having with many seizures to be put at an end. Let whatever medical malady it might be recognized. And thank you for your healing grace upon him, as well as his parents that are struggling through this uncertainty. Lead them all ever closer to thee, and let a miracle, if necessary, be done, that even the doctors will be awakened to the fact that you have intervened in his behalf. Thank you so much for thy merciful kindness. Be with all of our workers around the world. Speed them on their way. Divinely protect, lead, guide them. And please increase the means that they have, that it will accomplish much more work with the little than with an abundance more. Thank you, Father, for being in charge of your great work and that it will soon be cut short in righteousness. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, Sabbath blessings, one and all. And before we get into our sermon, I have two announcements. The first is that our brother Willington from Zambia has requested me to let everyone know that they are in need of printing supplies to be able to print materials to pass out to individuals that are part of their camp meeting and to other individuals that need the materials. And I said that I would pass along his request. So please keep it in prayer, dear ones. And if the Lord so impresses you, then please help in this worthy endeavor. The second announcement is that next Sabbath will be the fifth and the last Sabbath of April. And so I felt it fitting to have communion and foot washing next Sabbath. We haven't had it for a few months. And so this next coming Sabbath, the 29th, please come prepared for foot washing and communion as our main church service. So we look forward to seeing you at that time. The sermon for today is part 15 of our series, To Love the Lord Thy God. And we're dealing with the spiritual aspect of revealing our love to God. And last time, we continued exploring into this emotion of love in its sexual form, dealing with the five major problems in marriages. And we focused upon the fifth and the last problem area, which was meddling relatives. And we clearly saw from the scriptures that when a man and a woman unite together in holy wedlock and they become of one flesh, that God requires them to leave the homes of their parents and live elsewhere. And this is because their marriage and union together in one flesh has now made them a family unit all of their own. And this new family unit of theirs is distinct and separate from all other family units including the unit that they were born into, grew up, and once lived in. So as this is true, then God has declared it to be His will that each family unit is to retain their distinctiveness by living separate from all other family units, including their parents. So since the husband and the wife have now become their own distinct family unit, then this means that they are now in charge and control over all issues pertaining to their own family. And as their family unit is separate and distinct from all other units, then this also means that any and all family matters and issues occurring in their particular family unit are to remain within the circle or confines of their immediate family and are not to be shared with other family units, including with their parents. We then discovered that God forbids any parent or relative or friend or any other person from coming in between the marriage of the husband and wife in any area. And this would include interfering, meddling, or intruding in their family affairs. And we also understood that when one or more of your parents or relatives are strong-willed to the point of seeking to control things in your marriage, then you are to politely thank them for their counsel and then let them know that after both you and your spouse have had time to consider their counsel, that you will either choose to follow it or will choose to disregard it according to what you both believe is best for your marriage and family unit. And in doing it this way, you have gently let them know that they are not the ones in control of your marital and family affairs. You are. But that you still appreciate their counsel, their guidance, and help when necessary. Now, if this gentle approach doesn't curb their attempts to try and control your marriage, then you may be forced to politely tell them that they are no longer welcome to call you or visit you until they can honor your wishes and respect the sanctity of your marriage in this matter. And finally, we touched on one last area last time, and that was dealing with those who have suffered through failed marriages, have been divorced, and then have remarried, and then come to realize that they did not have a biblical right to remarry. And we saw from God's word that the first thing that they should do under these conditions is to fully and sincerely repent for breaking God's law and committing this sin. And this confession and repentance is to be made to your current spouse, whom you had no biblical right to marry, and to your previous spouse, whom you have committed adultery against by being married to another person, and then to God as well, since it was His law which you broke. And we also saw that after you have sincerely repented for your sin of remarriage, that you would not need to dissolve your current marriage, even though it was unbiblical. But from that point on, you would need to determine to be a true, obedient follower of God in all areas. So even though your marriage originally took place without God's approval, yet you have indeed become of one flesh with your new spouse, and are indeed vowed and committed to them for life. So then after your full confession and repentance has been made, you must believe that God has accepted it and has truly and mercifully forgiven you this sin, and thus there is no need to break up your current marriage. So last time we finished exploring into the first of the four major types of this emotion of love, which was the love dealing with marriage, including affection and passion in the sexual form. Now today we'll begin exploring into the remaining three different major types of this emotion of love. And all three of these types of love are in the non-sexual form, dealing with love for others. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID53.htm. And thank you, dear sister. Now, the word love itself, as well as all the different forms of it, such as loved, loveth, etc., loving, the word love itself appears almost 500 times throughout God's holy word. 273 of these times are found in the Old Testament, and 226 of these are in the New. And when you examine all of these different forms of love, you'll find that the greatest majority of the verses in the Bible are dealing with the non-sexual form of love. So with so many Bible verses dealing with this emotion of love for others, then God is plainly revealing that this love for others is an extremely important subject for all of his followers to study and seek to understand. So with this in mind, let's now investigate into these three different major types of this emotion of love in the non-sexual form, and these remaining three major types are love dealing with family members, love dealing with non-family members, and finally, love dealing with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And today we'll begin with love dealing with family members. And so if you look at quote number one, we already dealt with the tender love and the kind of cherishing love that's to exist between a husband and wife in our previous sermons on the first type of this emotion of love in this series. So then what about the kind of non-sexual love that is to exist among other family members besides the husband and wife? And examples of this kind of non-sexual love would be love of parents to their children, or the love of children to their parents, including in-laws, or the love of siblings, brothers and sisters, to each other, etc. And so let's first begin with the love of parents to their children. Now, as a result of a man and woman marrying together and becoming of one flesh, the wife can become pregnant and children can be born in the marriage. But whose children are these really? Any children that are born in the marriage, whose children are they? In Genesis 4:1, we're told, "And Adam knew his wife, or knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." And in Joshua 24, verses 3 to 4, "And I, or God, took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau." So these verses reveal to us that the children that were born to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, Isaac, and etc., were not really their own product, because they were given to them by God Himself. So then this means that even though children are born to parents in their own image, yet these children are actually the property of God. If you look at quote number two. As this is true, then what's the reason why God has given these children to parents in the first place? If they're the property of God, then why has God allowed children to be born to parents? In Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So this means that one of the reasons why God gives children to parents is for the purpose of training them. And however parents train their children, they will become an indelible part of a particular type of character for the rest of their lives. When they are old, they will not depart from the way they were trained as a child. So this means that your child's character and future life's actions are directly connected and attributed to how you as their parents trained them as they were growing up. Now this is something very solemn, but it's a fact of truth. And so then it is a very important, extremely important, that parents comprehend and understand this fact. If you look at quote number three. So as this is such a very serious matter, then exactly how should parents train and raise these children to God? We're told in Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, when you look up the Greek words for nurture, this word is paideia, and it translates and means tutorage, education or training, instruction, nurture. That's Strong's word number 3809. And admonition is the Greek word nuthesia, and this word translates and means calling attention to, mild rebuke or warning, admonition. Strong's word number 3559. So in bringing the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, this would mean that parents are to tutor, to educate and train the children that God has given them, by calling their attention to the Lord and instructing them on how to follow His will. And if they should deviate from following God's will, then parents are to mildly rebuke and warn them. So this means that God does not instruct parents to impulsively scold or to belittle or berate their children for doing wrong, but are to instead correct them in a mild, self-controlled manner. And the reason is, these children are God's precious possession. And so it is only proper and fitting for parents to remember this fact, and then to always treat their children as the precious possessions of God that they are, while raising them to follow the Lord and to obey His will. And in order to properly raise your children for God, both parents need to be devoted in doing so. Not just one with the other not participating. Both need to be involved. Now, if you look at quote number 4, since both parents are to be involved in raising and training their children for the Lord, then what is the responsibility of the father? What's his part in this raising and training? And one of the main responsibilities of the husbands and fathers is to provide for mine own house. You find that in Genesis 30, verse 30. So this means that the husband or father is to avoid doing anything with his time or money that will in any way jeopardize his ability to provide and care for his own household and family. And if he should instead choose to avoid fulfilling his sacred responsibilities to his wife and children, if he should find various excuses to stay away from home or to spend his money in unnecessary areas when his wife and family really need that money, then he is in real danger of losing his soul because of his unfaithfulness. We're told in Habakkuk 2, verses 4 to 5, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied. And in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. So this reveals that all husbands and fathers need to clearly understand that their time and money is now intimately connected with providing for their wife and children and is no longer their own to spend carefree like it was when they were single and unmarried. And if any husband tries to live their previous carefree life after they are married, then they greatly endanger not just their own salvation, but the salvation of their wife and children as well, because they are not there to properly lead their wife and children to God. But instead of being an immature husband to your wife, and instead of being a deadbeat dad to your children, and being worse than an infidel, husbands and fathers need to do their best with God's divine help, and they need to follow these verses of biblical instruction that were written just for you. In Titus 2, verses 6 to 8, young men, be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. And in 1 Timothy 3, verse 4 and 12, a husband and father that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, ruling their children and their own houses well, is what God desires. So, dear husbands and fathers, In the strength and grace of God, prayerfully and cheerfully take up your family responsibilities each day as a real man. And become the best loving husband to your wife and the best loving father to your children that you can be. And know that by doing so, you will indeed become the husband or the house band necessary to unite your wife and children together with you into a strong, unbreakable, loving family unit that God intended every family to be. And you will surely then be able to raise and train your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that was one of the main responsibilities of husbands. But now, what of wives and mothers? If you look at quote number 5. One of the main responsibilities of wives and mothers is to guide the house. That's found in 1 Timothy 5:14. So this means that the wife or mother is to avoid doing anything with her time or money that will in any way jeopardize her ability to properly guide and tend her own household and family. And if she should instead choose to avoid fulfilling her sacred responsibilities to her husband and children, if she should find various excuses to stay away from home, or to spend her money in unnecessary areas when her family really needs it, then she is in real danger of losing her soul. We're told in 1 Timothy 5, verses 12 to 13 and verse 15. For when they, or women, have begun to wax wanton against Christ, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So this shows us that all wives and mothers need to clearly understand that their time and money is now intimately connected with properly guiding their household and children, and is no longer their own to spend carefree like it was when they were single and unmarried. And if wives try to live their previous carefree life after they're married, then they greatly endanger not just their own salvation, but the salvation of their husband and children as well, because they are not there to properly guide them to God. But instead of being an immature wife or a could-care-less mother and waxed wanton against Christ, you need to instead do your best with God's divine help and follow these particular verses of biblical instruction written just for you. In Titus 2, verses 4 to 5. The young women are to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And 1 Timothy 5:14. The younger women are to marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So, dear wives and mothers, in the strength and grace of God, prayerfully and cheerfully take up your family responsibilities each day as a real woman, and become the best loving wife to your husband as well as the best loving mother to your children that you can be. And know that when you do so, you will be able to guide your family into becoming a strong, unbreakable, loving unit that God intended every family to be, and will then surely be able to raise and train your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, during this course of godly raising, training, and educating your children for the Lord, parents are going to meet with varying degrees of disobedience from their children, irregardless of their age. And this includes while they are in infancy, not just when they're older. So then how are parents to properly deal with these varying forms of disobedience from their children? How are they to properly punish their children for greater degrees of disobedience? And this is what we'll be discovering next time. Now remember, next Sabbath is foot washing and communion. So then the very first Sabbath in May is when we're going to take up the issue of how parents are to properly discipline their disobedient children. And praise our Savior for being there to call upon at any time of day or night. And we know that we have His grace and strength as well as wisdom and leadership and guidance in how to properly raise our children for the glory of God. Praise His holy name.
Take my hands and let them move as the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and dirty for Thee, swift and beautiful for Thee.
Hallelujah. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee, filled with messages from Thee.
Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my mind and then use every power Thou shalt choose. Every poor as Thou shalt choose.
Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart and it's Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. It shall be Thy royal throne.
Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take my soul and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee.
Amen. And thank you, dear ones. Indeed, dear Savior, take our life. Let it be consecrated to thee. Let self be dead. And let everything we do, especially in raising your children for your glory that you have given to us in trust, may we raise them through your grace and strength in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. And thank you, dear Savior, for helping us each step of every day in this vitally important training. Thank you so much. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for closing prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us thy word of instruction that we can truly find what we need to do in any given situation. Please help us to deny self, not to do our own ways or will, but instead to submit ourselves to do your ways and will. And thank you, dear Spirit, for helping us, reproving us, instructing us, comforting us in this great endeavor and goal to bring more to the glory of God and the salvation of their souls, especially our children. I pray, dear Father, that thy truth will continue to speed around the world, but especially let it fill our hearts, that by precept and example, we may, by living the truth, lead others to live it as well, that we will not be hypocrites for teaching our children one way and then living a completely different way, but instead showing ourselves to be converted and consecrated to God first. And thus, our children will see that it's possible for them to also live by every word that proceedeth from God. And thank you for the grace and strength to accomplish this salvation of our souls as well as the salvation of our children. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. I just wanted to thank the Lord publicly for helping my mom and I. We've been down sick for the last week or so. And I especially also wanted to give thanks to one of our sisters, dear Sister Susan, who has gone out of her way and supplied both natural medicines as well as food for us. And I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you all. God bless you and have a continued blessed Sabbath.
Oh, praise God indeed, dear sister, especially that you and your mom are getting well. And I didn't realize you were sick, but I will definitely add you both to our prayers that your full recovery to God's glory may indeed take place soon and that you'll be as good as you were before, if not better than you were before you got sick. So praise God indeed for raising you back to health. Well, dear ones, is there any thoughts, questions, comments, any songs, any other testimonies Any requests that you'd like to bring forth at this time, please go right ahead. Amen. Text in put in the room is Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Amen, brother, and thanks for sharing that. Well, a hymn comes to mind. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its path before us lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. Life with its path before us lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on thy guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust and the trusting soul shall prove. Christ is its life and Christ its love. Trust and the trusting soul shall prove. Christ is its life and Christ its love. Faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changeth not and thou art dear. Only believe and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. Only believe and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. Fight that good fight, dear ones.
Sabbath blessing, brethren. I'll sing a hymn. It's called Not I But Christ. Not I But Christ, be honored, love exalted. Not I But Christ, be seen, be known, be heard. Not I But Christ, in every look and action. Not I But Christ, in every thought and word. Not I But Christ, to gently soothe in sorrow. Not I But Christ, to wipe the falling tear. Not I But Christ, to lift the weary burden. Not I But Christ, to hush away all fear. Christ, only Christ, no idle words are falling. Christ, only Christ, no needless bustling song. Christ, only Christ, no self-important fearing. Christ, only Christ, no trace of I be found. Not I But Christ, my every need supplying. Not I But Christ, my strength and health to be. Not I But Christ, for body, soul and spirit. Christ, only Christ, here and eternally. Amen.
Oh, could I speak the matchless word? Oh, I could sound the glories forth, which in my Savior shine. I'd soar and touch the heavenly strings, and vie with Gabriel while he sings in notes almost divine, in notes almost divine. I'd sing the precious blood he spilled, and my ransom from the dreadful guilt of sin and wrath divine. I'd sing his glorious righteousness, in which all perfect heavenly dress my soul shall ever shine, my soul shall ever shine. I'd sing the characters he bears, and all the forms of love he wears, exalted on his throne. In lofty songs of sweetest praise, I would to everlasting days make all his glories known, make all his glories known. Soon the delightful day will come when my dear Lord will bring me home, and I shall see his face. Then with my Savior, brother, friend, a blessed eternity I'll spend, triumphing in his grace, triumphing in his grace.
Amen, dear brother Josh, and thank you for your perseverance in being able to sing that hymn, even though you had to use a different computer. And we will indeed be keeping your current computer in prayers, and since it's on its way out, may God provide a way for you to get a new one. Other ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Please feel free.
Okay, just bear with the noise in the background, but there's a request for Wonderful Peace. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial light strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace. Buried deep in my innermost soul. So secure that no power can mine it away. While the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace. Wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I believe when I rise to the city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see. That one strain of the song which their ransom will sing, in that heavenly kingdom will be. peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Weary soul, without gladness or comfort or rest, passing down the rough pathway of time, make the Savior your friend ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept of His peace so sublime. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
We love you, dear family. Love you, Sister Francine.
Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Amen, and praise His holy name for indeed taking care of us in all situations as long as we trust in Him. Well, there's been a request for a special prayer for a brother Moses there in Zambia who is an elder in one of our home churches. So let us please bow our heads. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we pray that you will draw especially close to our dear brother Moses. Please let him feel your presence near and let his faith and hope and trust in thee to increase and to grow and to be content whatever your will is in this affliction. And dear Savior, we pray that according to thy perfect will that you will put your healing grace upon our dear brother. Please revive him and raise him back up to life and strength to be able to work more for thy glory. But dear Savior, all according to thy perfect and loving will, because you know what is best at this particular time in his life. And so we leave him in thy most capable, loving hands. And thank you for taking his case under your control. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
I'm sorry, I just keep trying to type in amen and the microphone keeps coming up. Don't mean to do that.
Well, perhaps the mic keeps coming up because it's letting you know we'd love to hear you sing.
Okay, one comes to mind right now. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go, that self to, in this world below. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Thank you, Lord. You did it.
Thank you so much, and sorry for putting you on the spot there, but we really enjoy your singing, dear sister. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close today's service? Please go right ahead. Well, dear church family, I pray that God will bless you with a wonderful new week, better than last week, especially in growing that much closer to him in life and character and having self more and more crucified than the day before. Keep looking up. Keep drawing closer to one another and to Jesus. And praise his name that we're a day closer to his return. And I'd like to leave you now with this scripture song. Be merciful unto me, be merciful, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Be merciful unto me, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. Psalms 86, 3, 5, and 11, and 12. So may you have a song in the heart to lift up to God in praise at all times, dear ones, and may his peace that passeth understanding be yours.